Jeremiah chapter 1, follow me now, verse number 4. Jeremiah 1, verse number 4 says, "Then the word of the Lord came unto me," the me being Jeremiah, saying, "Before I formed thee," God speaking to Jeremiah, "before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee." And by the way, God, same thing with you. "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." In other words, God knew what Jeremiah was going to do, God's plan for his life. God knew that from before he was born. Now, church, I want to tell you something. He was a prophet, but God knows you too. You weren't an accident. When you were born in the belly, God knew exactly where you'd be and where you'd end up because he's omniscient. He knows, all right? And I know sometimes we mess up by not following God's perfect will. I think he always has a permissive will for our life. And I also believe that if a person gets off the plan for God's will, that they can get back on a plan for God's will. God has something that he wants us to do. Jeremiah was no different. Look at verse number 6 with me now. "Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. For the Lord said unto me, Say not, I am a child. For thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord." Jump down, if you don't mind, verse number 16. I'll read just a few more verses. "And I will utter my judgments," God speaking again to Jeremiah, "against them," that's the other nations, "touching all their wickedness who have forsaken me and have burned incense unto other gods and worshipped the works of their own hands." Verse 17, "Thou therefore," God speaking to Jeremiah, "thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. And behold, I have made thee this day a defensed city and an iron pillar and brazen walls against the whole land." In other words, he said, "Jeremiah, I'm going to make you what's tough. I'm going to make you the brazen wall. I'm going to make you to be the stand, the one that's going to stand to be able to proclaim what I want you to know, what them to know." And Jeremiah twice here talks about, and of course mentioned, about, you know, "I'm afraid of their face. I'm afraid of what they're going to do." And if you've ever studied the book of Jeremiah, he's from the city of Anathoth. His own brethren from Anathoth said, "Hey, listen, get rid of this guy." Zedekiah puts him in prison. In fact, he is left to die in prison. And when Judah is taken over and the capital of Jerusalem is taken over, he's in prison. And Nebuchadnezzar pulls him out of the prison and says, "Okay, you can go free." And a heathen king lets him go free. I want to tell you why. Because the king's heart's in where? It's in the hand of the Lord. God's in control of everything. And so our fears sometimes really mess us up. People have made major mistakes in their life because of fear. And so this morning, I want to talk to you for a little bit about that subject matter, again, out of the book of Proverbs, but also I want to take you through the Bible, and we'll talk about a couple of things. Let's go ahead and pray one more time and ask God's blessing. Father, I know they've already prayed. I need your help. They need your help. Lord, we need you to speak to us. Lord, thank you that we come to Sunday school to learn. But Father, may we not just learn verses or subject matter, but Father, may we learn from the sweet Holy Spirit, Lord, what you want for our life, and then may we do what you teach us. Lord, I ask you to please help Katie Jo this morning in the hospital there. Lord, thank you that she's making it a turn for the better. I just ask you to please continue to heal her. And Lord, help her with the pregnancies. Help both the children be born healthy and strong according to your will. Lord, give Dave wisdom also during this time. Help us now. Lord, thank you again for your people. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You know, all of us have different fears this morning, and if we went through the room, we'd find out, if you were honest, what your particular fear is, okay? Now, all of us have different fears, okay? Now, I know, I'm going to tell you one of mine. Man, I know this is going to sound very silly to you. I was about 13 years old, and I was mowing Pastor Cook. It was a Pentecostal pastor in town. I was mowing his lawn. I mowed it regularly. He had about a half acre of land. And I was too young to know any better, but I was mowing along, and all of a sudden I saw this mouse going across, and I started chasing him with the riding lawnmower. And but it was an open, he had a big backyard, it's an open field, so I'm chasing him. I'm putting all kinds of lines in the mowing, but I'm having a blast. And then I got this brainy idea that I would catch the mouse. And so I got off the mower, I ran, picked him up. And I am not lying to you when I looked at this mouse. I'm looking at it. I got the mouse in my hand, picked him up, looked at the mouse in my hand. He opened his mouth. Well, I didn't know what he, I thought maybe he was just hungry. I didn't know what his problem was. But he opened his mouth. And I thought, you know, I'm 13 years old. I did not know any better. So I went to pet the mouse with my other hand. All righty. When I went to pet that mouse on his head, he took his teeth right into my finger and scared me half to death. When I flicked him off, he went flying into the air, and I did not chase him again, all right? Now, ever since that time, I don't like mice. I know that sounds the craziest thing in the world. I don't like mice. I don't have any desire. In fact, if it's in a mouse trap, that's what I have staff for. There's a mouse over there that wants you. All right. And so mice is not one of my favorite things as far as, and it's funny because Kelly was just talking the other day that she found a mouse and she went to go step on it. I mean, she just, you know, she don't care about mice. We were talking yesterday a little about it. And I think she even picked it up, if I remember correctly. And, but anyway, farm girl, I guess. But anyway, I had another instance in my life that caused a fear in my life. And this is why I kind of am what I am. I was probably, I'm going to guess I was 14. I might have been 15, but I was about 14 years of age. Maybe 15. And a friend in the church let me use their motorcycle. And I had never, you know, and so we went out to what was called Pork Chop Hill. Pork Chop Hill was a bunch of trails, big jump. And it was called Pork Chop Hill because there was one hill that was pretty steep. And so anyway, I got on that motorcycle and I felt like I had ridden it enough that I knew what I was doing, but I didn't. And I came across to do the steep hill next. And I put that thing out, and I was flying away, and I came across that hill. And when I went over on the top of that hill, I lost control of the bike in midair. So when I landed, and the bike landed on me. Okay, I walked home. From that point on, I did not want to ride a motorcycle again. Now, I've often said, and I believe that ministry motorcycles don't usually go hand in hand. As a pastor, I have no interest in getting on a motorcycle. And I think one of it is because there is a certain amount of fear of motorcycle because of what's taken place in my life. You know, if we were to have you give testimony this morning, some of yours would even be more comical. All right. So stop casting stones here. I see the eyes. Yeah. How stupid can he be? All right. But you have things that you fear in your life. And again, it could be a variety of things. But as a Christian, we are always going to have fears that take place in our life. Church, let me think for just a moment here. If you go all the way back to the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve fell when they ate of the fruit. Do you remember what the Bible says about that? I think it's Genesis chapter number 3. But the Bible says that when Adam and Eve went and sowed fig leaves on, that God came to them and said, Adam, where art thou? Remember the story? And then Adam said, we have hid ourselves because we are afraid. Isn't it interesting that fear goes all the way back to the beginning of almost creation? You know, there's going to be times in your life that you're going to fear. There's going to be times in life that you're going to struggle in your life. Man, what do I do? And how do I do this? And if I do this, could this possibly happen? Can I also put in the back of your mind that oftentimes hypothetical situations never take place? You know, I'm amazed at Christians who make decisions based on what they think is going to happen. And the reason they make that decision based on what they think is going to happen because they fear the outcome. Now, church family, fear is an emotion. And by the way, fear is not a bad emotion. Fear can be good or bad. Hey, by the way, we should be fearful of some things and some things we shouldn't be fearful of, okay? So it's an emotion that happens in our life, usually because of people or circumstances. Sometimes it's a person who puts fear in our life. How many had a parent that spanked growing up, all right? I think as we get older, we're going to find out it's fewer and fewer. But if you grew up, I mean, I grew up with a father who was very loud spoken and very hard spanking. I mean, I'm telling you, he was almost all truth, no mercy. I mean, so when you got in trouble and dad said, okay, go to my room, this was not a matter of like we live. In our day today, in most families, it's 3 swats, you know, maybe 5. You know, the kid might, okay, and he's fine. Okay, my dad wasn't like that. My dad, you would go to the room and he would spank until he was tired. Okay, and I know you think I'm exaggerating, okay? I went into my dad's room one time and my mother, well, actually, you know, if you have a sibling, brothers and sisters, my brother was closer to my age, they always count how many swats a person's getting. It's just part of it, you know? 1, 2, 3. I mean, it's just what you do. And, you know, on one occasion, my father, he gave me 56 swats. Now, I know you're going to say, you know, your father was abusive and your father, you know, he shouldn't have done that. And, you know, I just want to tell you, I love my father, you know. He that rebuketh a man afterwards shall find more favor than he that flatters with the tongue. You keep raising your children on flattery, they're not going to love you, okay? And he was hard-nosed and he was strong and he was truth and a lot of times no mercy. But I want to tell you something, I have no doubt that he loved me. Why do I know that? Biblical truth, Revelation 3:18. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. So what God does for us, what a parent's supposed to do for their child. So what I'm trying to say is I feared my dad. I loved him, but I feared him. He's just a very strong leader, and as far as, you know, what was right, what was wrong, what he was going to do. Now, with all that said this morning, I want you to think about fear for just a moment as far as in your life. And I want to talk about just several things, okay? First of all, I want to talk to you about what you should fear. Then I want to talk about what you shouldn't fear. And then I want to talk about how to overcome fear, all right? And we'll do that as quickly as we possibly can this morning. But the first thing I want you to think about is this, okay? When it comes to fears, what are some things that we're supposed to fear, all right? Now, church family, this is not an extensive list. You have a Sunday school lesson in your hand. I'm not going to take time to go through everything this morning. But the number one thing, or person, I should say, that we should fear is who? God. By the way, it's commanded that we fear God. Now, we use the word fear a little bit different when we talk about God, when it talks about the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is mentioned 30-some times in Scripture. And the word fear there means to have an awe or respect for God. In other words, for what he says and for what he wants us to do. So God says, it's a command of God. God says, be not wise in thine own eyes, but fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's a command that we fear God. Hey, listen, I really believe that if we had more fear of God, we'd have less fear of man. If we would have more respect and awe about what God wants for our life, we'd stop worrying about what people say. All right? Remember the proverb? You know this one probably higher. I think it's 29:25. It says, the fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. You know, we get so concerned about what people say to us when man can't really hurt us. Remember what Jesus told the disciples? He says, the person you ought to be afraid of, the person who can cast body and soul in hell. You know, we live our life as if people are in control. People are not in control. Well, you know, I might lose my job. God's still in control. Well, you know, my wife might leave me. God's still in control. Well, you know, my child might go wayward. God's still in control. You know, we've got to get back to this thing. If I'm going to fear God more than I'm going to fear man, I've got to make sure that I have a proper respect and awe and fear of God. Now, my definition, according to Scripture, of fearing the Lord comes from two verses. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Proverbs 14, 2, he that walketh in his uprightness feareth the Lord. So what is fearing God? It's really having a hatred of evil and walking uprightly. That, and we might say that's what shows our fear of God, but that's what the Bible says is the fear of the Lord. In other words, I want to live right and hate sin, and that's because of a proper respect of God. All right? Hey, listen, when you got up this morning, what was your first, now you don't have to answer, but what was your first thought this morning? Church family, when you wake up out of sleep at night, what do you think about? And I'm not talking, what I'm trying to get you to think about this morning, are you in a God-conscious state? Are you in a God-conscious state when something bad happens as well as when something good happens? Is the only time you think of God is when you're in an emergency situation? God, I need you to do something. Or are you God-conscious when you wake up, everything's going great? God, what do you want for my life today? What are you doing in my life today? Can I tell you that a fear of God is a God-conscious state, and that's what we want to do. So what should we fear? Number one, we should fear God. Number two, we should fear the temptation of evil. All righty? Now, we live our lives, and the reason we yield to temptation and fall into sin is because we're not afraid of falling into sin. It's Proverbs 15, 14, I believe, let me look at the reference here. Proverbs 14, 16, excuse me. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil, but the fool rageth and is confident. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. So can I tell you, what's proper, what should we fear? Number one, we should fear God. Number two, we should fear the idea of temptation. Hey, how many would agree with me here? I'm under the impression the only good snake is a dead snake. Is there anybody else like that this morning? How many of you people like snakes? Is there anybody here like snakes? All right, would you hold your hand up high so people know who the weird ones are? Goodness gracious, a snake. Now, I know people tell me all the time, Pastor, there's good snakes. Some of these snakes, you know, they take care of the rodents and they take care of things that are, I don't care. Hire an exterminator. I don't want a snake. All righty? You know, when we lived next door, believe it or not, a rattlesnake was coiled up in my driveway. I'm talking about a rattlesnake was coiled up in my driveway. It was a warm day. I think he was just sunbathing. I guess that's what they do. But anyway, he was in the sun. He was on those warm rocks. He was in the driveway. And when I pulled into my driveway over there, and I could see that it was a rattlesnake, I ran over it. But I want you to know that's not all I did. I backed up. And I spun my tires and ran over it. And then I pulled forward. And then I backed up. And then I spun my tires and ran over it. And then I pulled forward. And then I backed up. You know, I just don't like snakes. I mean, I don't trust a snake. And I'm not versed enough to know what are good snakes and bad snakes. So I'm not taking a chance to find out which one's poisonous, which one's not. All right? I don't care if it's a gardener snake. He shouldn't be in my garden. All righty? Snakes or not. So all I'm trying to say is that we need to have a proper fear of sin. This is not a little sin, a big sin. This is not a sin that's going to get me in trouble, and this is a sin that's going to be okay. Sin is sin. So what kind of fear should we have as a Christian? We ought to have a fear of God. We also ought to have a healthy fear of temptation. And when I say healthy is I'm afraid of it. I'm afraid that I will do what my flesh wants to do, all right? You're saved in here for the most part this morning. I hope that you all are. But again, I alluded to it a minute ago, but Matthew 10, 28, and fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. Listen, if you're lost, I'll tell you what you ought to be afraid of. You'd be afraid of where you're going to spend eternity. Hell's forever. So what should we fear? Next thing I want you to think about is this. What should we not fear? All righty. First one we've already talked about. We should not fear man. And again, David said the same thing in Psalm 56, 4. In God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust. I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. That's what the Lord wants to do. And of course, there's several more Psalms. I think they're in your lesson. Psalm 118, verse number 6. Hebrews 13, 6. I like Hebrews 13, 6. So that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper, and I will not fear what man shall do unto me. You know, another one that's in your lesson as far as the desolation of the wicked. In other words, the persecution of the wicked. You know, we shouldn't fear that. You know, one of the reasons we don't like going door-to-door soul winning, or we don't like confrontational soul winning, because we're afraid of what people think about us. And you know, God says we don't have to worry about what they think about us. All right? We need to just go ahead and tell them. Now, this morning, I would like to take my remaining moments this morning with you, and I want to talk about how to overcome fear. All right? How do I make it so that I don't let fear dictate my life as far as what I'm going to do? All righty? All right, so this morning, let me quickly go through these. So the first one, again, these are in your lesson. We could take our Bibles and turn to all of them. I think the verses might be in front of you this morning. But the first thing is this. Can I have you look at this one, though? Turn over to Proverbs 1. I want you to see the previous verse on this one here. On Proverbs 1. You know, Church, I mean, when you look through the scripture and you look at people that were fearful, of course, they were good people and bad people that were fearful. But there were different reasons for the fear, okay? All right, so for instance, in Job's life, Job had fear that came into his life. If you read the book of Job, you're going to see that it was fearful. Who caused the fear in Job's life? Talk to me now. Who caused the fear in Job? Now, I know you say, well, God in control. But who caused God to cause the fear? Satan did. Can I tell you, sometimes we have fear in our life because of what Satan's doing in our life. And I know we can't see him, and we don't know for sure that it's him. But in some cases, just Satan trying to cause you to doubt God, trying to cause you to be fearful. All right, think about this. Now, how about Elijah? What caused Elijah's fear that caused him to run 3 days into the wilderness and say, God, why don't you kill me? Jezebel. Can I tell you, sometimes people do that. Ahab and Jezebel, they caused him to fear. You know, we allow that sometimes to happen in our life. We allow a person to cause us to get worried, all right? How about this, okay? In this situation, he ended up in a whale, and inside the whale, he was fearful and afraid. Why was Jonah in the whale? Disobedience. You know, sometimes it's self-inflicted that causes us to have the fears that we have because we didn't do what's right and it's God's punishment on our life. This is Proverbs chapter number 1. Look what he says here now. In Proverbs chapter 1, verse number 23 says, turn you at my reproof. The idea is this person is not listening to God. God says, because you didn't do that, verse 26, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind. When distress and anguish cometh upon you. God says 6 things are going to happen to you because you won't listen to my reproof. Calamity, fear, distress, destruction. All the things are going to happen. Now God says, I want to tell you what the remedy to your fear would be. Look at the last verse. All right, chapter number 1, verse number 33. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely and shall be quiet from what? Fear of evil. Hey, listen, if you don't want to have to worry about what's taking place in your life, can I tell you what you need to do? Obey God. Just simply obey God. If in church family, listen, all of us have this same, if I can say, weakness in our life, is sometimes we don't want to obey God. We want to do what we want. But can I tell you something? Obedience is what causes a person to be able to live not in fear. All right? It's simple obedience to God. Just do what God says. You know, my dad growing up, sometimes if you only hear limited statements from me, you would get a bad picture of my father. He was a good father. All right, I know you hear the stories, big guy, big belt, swinging away, wrapping the belt around me twice, 2 spankings for every swat, loudspeaker. I mean, you've heard all those things before. But church, I mean, can I tell you, I never feared my dad when I wasn't in trouble. Never. You know, he was a big teddy bear in the sense that, you know, dad was at all our basketball games, coached many of them, but dad was at all the basketball games, you know, dad provided for the family. Dad did, you know, we talk about, we teach as we've been taught. My dad, we ate supper together, just like I do. And my family, we'd eat supper together with dad. Dad would play games with us. He'd play Risk. I didn't like playing Risk with my dad, though. He would pay my sisters off to attack him with literal money. My sisters didn't have jobs. And, you know, he didn't tell them a dollar. He was a big giver. So he'd say, hey, if you'll attack Scott, I'll give you $10. I said, what in the world? I knew I couldn't outpay him, so that wasn't going to happen. My dad was fun to be around. He was strong disciplinarian, but he was, you know what? Can I tell you something? I never was tense being around my dad except when I was in trouble. Can I tell you something? You'll never be a tense around your Heavenly Father except when you're in trouble. All right? So what keeps me from having that, if I can say, how to overcome fear, obey God? Next thing, which we already said, I'll just mention is trust the Lord. We talked about Proverbs 29:25, but Psalm 56:3-11 says, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in thee. And God, if I put my trust, I will not be afraid. What can man do unto me? Hey, church family, most of our fears is not circumstances. Most of our fears, I think, and maybe 50%, I don't know what the percentage would be, but a lot of our fears has to do with people. We allow people to get the best of us. In other words, we allow people to cause us to worry about what's going to take place in our life. Can I tell you something? Trust God. God's bigger than that person. There's nothing that they can do without God's permission. Church family, think. If Satan had to come to God to get permission, then that person over there can't do anything without God letting him do it. All right, so the idea of trusting God. So obey God, trust God. Okay, now this one's going to be an obvious one. Philippians 4:6. Be careful for nothing but in everything by prayer. Prayer and supplication and thanksgiving. Let your requests be known unto God. Hey, listen, if you're having a trouble in your life, can I tell you the best thing for you to do is pray. Well, then what do I do after that? Pray some more. Then what do I do after that? Pray some more. Hey, can I give you a remedy for the trouble you're going through in your life? Get alone and spend a large amount of time just talking to God. Sometimes that alone is just going for a walk. Sometimes that alone is, you know, going to another room. Sometimes that alone is getting up early. But can I tell you something? You would get a whole lot more peace in your life if you really just give God some quality time and say, God, I'm going through this. You say, well, how do you know that? Well, remember verse number 6? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, let your requests be known unto God. You remember verse number 7? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So in other words, if I'm going to get the peace that I need for the fear that I'm going through, I've got to pray, and then God says, I'll give you the peace. We want the peace without the prayer. All right, so I've got to pray. And it's more than, God, would you take care of this? Get specific, get lengthy. All right? Spend some time with God. All right? So how do I overcome fear? Number one, obey God. Number two, trust in the Lord. Number three, pray. Hey, church, I mean, this ought to be a given, and I don't have time to really go through all these this morning. I hope that if you study the lessons that you'd read some of these verses. But Proverbs 3, verse number 21 says this, my son, let not them, talking about the word of God, let not them depart from thine eyes, keep sound wisdom and discretion. And then two verses later it says, when thou liest down, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down and thy sleep shall be sweet. Hey, can I tell you something? If you're going to get over your fears, you got to be in the book. Hey, that book is what gives confidence. That book is what gives strength. That book is what gives direction. The Bible will cause you to overcome your fears in your life. Just read a bunch of it. Hey, listen, there's times in my life that I just simply don't know what to do. And you know what I do when I get in times like that? I just go get alone. And I read, then I pray. I read. And by the way, it doesn't matter to me if it's the book of Leviticus. It doesn't matter if it's the genealogies. There's something about the Word of God. You say, well, I'm looking for a verse. Church family, what you have to understand is because the Bible is the Word of God, you can be reading the genealogies, but because it comes from God's lips, it will give you the peace and direction that you need. I know it sounds the craziest thing in the world, but the Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing both soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. If you want the thoughts and intents of the hearts to get what you need, just read the Word of God. You say, but man alive, I'm reading Genesis, or I'm reading Exodus, I'm reading Deuteronomy, I'm reading about the offerings and the feast, and I don't feel like I got any direction. God gave this promise in the word. His word cannot return void. In other words, God's going to accomplish what he wants to accomplish through his word. So just simply read the word. How do I overcome this fear in my life? Read the book. Then read it some more. How do I get over the fears of my life? I pray. Hey, talk to me now. Does God love you? Yes or no?
Yes.
Are you his child? Yes or no?
Yes.
All right. How many of you in here have children? Raise your hand. You have children? Okay. If your children really came to you and wanted something or was talking to you something, would you not listen? And would you not, as a parent, not try to help them with whatever their problem is? No matter how little it is. Hey, how much more, the Bible says, your heavenly Father in heaven does good things for us who ask. Talk to the Lord through your fear, all right? Hey, is your fear, you're worried about what people think about you? God can take care of the fear. Are you worried about finances that you don't have? God can take care of that fear. Are you worried about your marriage? God can take care of that fear. Are you worried about your children growing up and serve God? Hey, you know, I think all of us go through similar fears. I know that they're different. But I want to tell you something. There's things that we really want God to do in our life. And if you're not careful, you will sin over something good. Here's what I mean by that, okay? We want our children to turn out for God. Sometimes, man, I'm just a little iffy. Are they going to go the right direction? Are they going to make the right choices? When I let them go, will they do what they're supposed to do? You know, when the Bible says be careful for nothing, that's part of nothing. We have to do everything we can and let God do the rest. You know what that's called? Trust, prayer, obedience, all right? So don't let your fears get the best of you. Something else here. Again, I'm almost done. Remember that God is greater than man. Isaiah 51, 12 and 13. I won't take time to read that. But the children of Israel were concerned about their enemies. God said, hey, who made the enemy? Who gave them breath? Remember, God's bigger than man. And last of all, this is one I want you to think about. You know the verse by heart. Sometimes you just don't think about it. Remember Psalm 23? Oh yeah, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. But you remember verse number 4? All right, now if you know it, I want you to say it with me, all right? It starts with the word yea together, ready? Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? Hey, you know what you can do? If you just realize he's not left you alone. You know, I think sometimes we allow our fears to get the best of us because we think we're all alone. We're not all alone. You know, I grew up in a basement. My room was in the basement of our house. When I go back to Sauk Village, Mom still lives in the old house there. And every once in a while, when I'm there, I like to go back down to my old room. Everything is still the same, except that the floor is black. No one's been down there since I lived there. The floor is black. Some of the ceiling's falling down. There's cobwebs actually in there. My mom doesn't go downstairs. I mean, it's my room from 25 years ago. But, you know, growing up, I grew up in my own room by myself. So it was never, I was never fearful of, you know, some people, like, when they're alone, you know, they get fearful, like, man alive, huh? You know, but now I've been married 30 years. I know this is going to be the craziest thing in the world. I've been married 30 years. If my wife and children are all gone, I do not sleep well. It's like I'm in the house all by myself. Now, I know maybe you're not like that. And I grew up in the basement of our home, but there was just something that, oh, there were still people there, you know? So, and it's a very rare day that they're gone and I'm here. But if I'm in my house, it happens very rarely. I don't sleep very well. Now, I know you're gonna think this is crazy, but if I'm home alone and my family's gone, my wife is gone, I lock all the doors. I go through the house to make sure there's nobody there. I go to my bedroom. I lock that door. I make sure my gun is on the side of my bed. And then I try to go to sleep. You know, there's just something about I've always had people around. I mean, even though I had my own room, the family was still there. And then when I got married, my wife has always been there. And then when you start having children, if your wife's gone, you still have children in the house. There's just something. But when everybody's gone, it's like you hear everything. The house starts to talk to you, creaking and making noise. And you think, oh no, somebody's in the house. Now, my wife's not like that. When I'm gone, she's thankful she's by herself. She has no fears. Hey, church family, our fears are really not mice or darkness. Our fears are usually people and circumstances. Hey, listen, as a Christian, don't let the devil get the best of you. He's with you in the valley as well as the mountaintop. Trust him. Spend extra time with him. Spend time in the book. Spend time in prayer. He can overcome your fears. Let's pray together.